So a great big welcome. I'm John Pletcher of the Joy of Serving as lead pastor here at Manor Church. And over the block of years I've been here, it's been a great joy to get to know Gordy Kautz. How many of you in the crowd know Gordy? Consider him friend, family, foe, maybe? How many of you? No, Gordy. It's so good to have Motorcycle Sunday like this together. It's such a joy to be gathered right here. Gordy's been here at Manor Church since 1994. He coached and played softball at Manor from 94 till he turned 64 in 2017, so you can do the math, go ahead. And he started playing in a league for 60 and over after that, and he still plays on several teams and actually sponsors one of them. Gordy is happily married to his beautiful wife, Wendy, and they recently went on a 6,600-mile motorcycle trip out west over 3 weeks in 2019. Any of you riders done the out west thing before? How many of you? Okay, yeah, you know what they were in for with that. They've got three beautiful grown children, Candace, Gordon, Dylan, and son-in-law Nate, and daughter-in-law Shay, and four beautiful grandchildren, Brady and Chase, and Isla and Cooper. Gordy also went on a motorcycle tour of Switzerland just this past spring. That was pretty rough, wasn't it? And the company you kept, I hear, was really rough as well. That included their son Gordon and Doug Funk. That's just awesome. Rough crowd, right? Gordy's been riding motorcycles since 1968. Started his own business in the fall of 73. You're going to get to hear some threads of that story. He's the owner of Kautz Construction, which includes Kautz Roofing and KC Green Energy LLC. He's also a partner with his wife, Wendy, in G&W Real Estate, where they own and manage both commercial and residential real estate. They do both that. He also partners with his son, Dylan, in KC Green Acres in multifamily real estate. If you can't tell, he's a bit of a busy guy. It's just a little busy. Let's give a great big welcome to Gordy. Come on, brother. Have fun.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Wow. What a difference a week makes in the weather, huh? Top of the morning to you all. So I got to find my place here. What a difference, the weather can make. We are just so thankful that it's nice out today. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Seen there's a lot of bikes out there, so that's really cool. What I'd like to do today is, first off, I would like to dedicate this day to my good friend, Fred Jones, who passed away this March. And if I could start with a prayer. Dear Lord, as Chris Christopherson wrote in the song we just heard, use me, Lord, as your vessel today so that maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. And maybe, just maybe, somebody today finds their right exit, because this ain't about me, Lord. It's all about you.
Amen. Amen. So, Gordy, every one of us can appreciate exit signs. Motorcycle friends here today certainly can appreciate exit signs, but really all of us. They take us off the road we're currently on and help us get on a new road. I know you feel like you've had a bunch of serious exit signs on the road of life. What was one really big one?
Well, I'd have to take you back to New Year's Eve. In 1980. So I was living life in the fast lane, but I was starting to really feel the effects of life in the fast lane. I had, over the last couple of years, I had buried a couple of my friends. Another good friend was paralyzed in a motorcycle accident. I was attending a Welsh Mountaineers Motorcycle Club sponsored New Year's Eve party at the Lancaster Community Center, right in the heart of the 7th Ward of Lancaster. This was the second year at this location. This was a ticketed event and sold out. We had 150 people there. We had 11 half barrels of beer, plus food. We had a band. We had a gym. There was even an indoor pool at this facility. Cool. My new fiance, Wendy, had the connection to rent the place, so this had to go well. I just gave Wendy an engagement ring at Christmas.
This better go well.
Yeah. We were living together at the time, and we decided we were going to get married. I was really getting tired of life in the fast lane. I was one of two club officers. I was the secretary. I was a founding member of the club and one of only four members that were members of the Dragon Gypsies, the original outlaw club that owned the land that our club was now on. It was a little after 1 a.m. The night had been a little rough. We had a couple fights earlier in the night that I took part in breaking up. So I was tending the door with my good friend Fred. I wanted to take a break, actually to do some coke in the restroom with a couple other friends to help me stay awake, get to the end of the party. One of the other members, Grubber, took my place at the door with Fred. What happened next would send a chill down my spine. Sandy Smucker ran into the room, in the men's room, and frantically said, "Gordy, you need to get out here quick." He said, "Fred's been shot. Grubber's been shot. Everything is in complete chaos." Instinctively, of course, I knew there was going to be police there. I disposed of all the drugs that I had on me, and I prayed, wondering, how in the world did I get into this?
So it sounds like right there, you were hitting an exit sign in a really unique, big-time way. There's this time, it's really interesting when we think about exit signs, because there's this time when Jesus was teaching a crowd on a mountainside. And we read it in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 7 is where this incident is recorded. And Jesus says this. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate." The gate or ramp and road are broad, Jesus says, really wide road. But then Jesus says something interesting about it. He says, it's the road that leads to destruction, and many take that road. And then he goes on to say this, but the road or the gate or the exit ramp and road are narrow that lead to life, and only a few find that road. Now that's the gist, something of a Pletch paraphrase of what Jesus said there, but it's the essence of what he was talking about, of what Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount. How'd you get on that original really wide road that sounds really destructive? How'd you get on that road?
So it's a long story. I, like a lot of people here, probably grew up with Mennonite heritage. My parents were Mennonite. I grew up going to Bible school, revival meetings, Sunday school, Sunday church, every Sunday. We didn't miss. However, I really didn't like being a Mennonite. We didn't have TV. All my friends had TV. And it just didn't seem like the Mennonites could have any fun. At 12 years old, I got tetanus, which is commonly known as lockjaw. Not many people survive to tell the story about getting tetanus. It's a disease that stops your motor skills. It stopped my natural breathing, literally stopped my heart. I literally had an out-of-body experience. I was 12 years old. And that was for sure an exit sign. And that's when I first accepted Christ, when I got through that. But I was afraid of God. I accepted Christ as out of fear and not really the love of God. I knew I accepted Christ and I was baptized, but I continued to have a lot of issues with the Mennonite church. At 17 years old and still in high school, I bought a new 396 Chevelle and worked after school to pay for it. You can imagine my grades weren't very good. At 19 years old, I bought a 56 Panhead chopper and planned to use it actually as an evangelistic tool. If you see by the the advertisement there, that's a Gail Gray drew that. It's a depiction of me on that bike. I put a cross on the sissy bar. I had the Star of David welded into the hardtail. It was tricked out as a chopper, custom paint, the whole nine yards. I got married early. I was actually 20 when I was married. I turned 21 on my honeymoon. I was just anxious to get out of the house. I started my own business 3 months later into the marriage in the fall of 73. I was working all the time. Those of you know, start a business, how much work it is. I'm working all the time, and I'm 21, so we're partying a lot. My wife and I were partying a lot. Before long, we were having marital problems.
Not surprising, and it sounds like another exit sign.
Yeah, it was a really big, sad, sudden sign. About 6 months into our marriage, we had some real serious issues. My wife had had an affair with my best friend. We received some counsel from church authorities, even though we weren't going to church, and we decided to stay together. But I was a proud man, had a nice new car, had a nice motorcycle, and now I had a wife that my friends would soon know was not true to me. We had a friend who had just joined the Dragon Gypsies. It was an outlaw motorcycle club. We could join this club and be a good positive influence to the club, so we thought. We could avoid our old friends so no one would ever know what had happened because we'd have new friends. And did I mention I was 21 years old?
Oh, yeah. Nothing could go wrong here.
Yeah, nothing. What a plan. Yeah. So if my plan was to terminate our marriage early, if it was headed for failure, then it was a good plan. If it was to try to save our marriage, I couldn't have put us in a more caustic environment. Plus, the timing of this prospecting for the Gypsies was really bad. The Gypsies were under siege by the pagans while I was prospecting. The pagans had burnt down our clubhouse when we were on a run to Betterton Beach, and they told our leadership that we could no longer wear colors. In defiance to that, a group of us were out one night flying colors. There was a confrontation with the pagans at your place in Leola. Some of you guys probably know where that was. And on that night, there was about six pagans there, and there were about 15 of us. One of the pagans cold-cocked me out in front of the bar. I was a roofer. I was in the shape of my life. I was mad at God for what happened to my marriage. Of course, a fight ensued. It ended up with me and the VP of the club against the six pagans. There were about 15 of us there and only six pagans. You get the picture. The other 12 or 13 members were afraid, and they just watched the two of us get beat up bad. So when the dust settled and I had a chance to reflect on what had happened, I decided to quit the club.
Yeah, makes sense. And it sounds like right there, another big exit sign. What road did you land on next?
Well, back to Fred Jones. Fred was the former president of the Gypsies. Him and I became good friends. So this was a major friendship road. He was not one of the members that were at YP that night. In fact, he and the president were not even informed of the outing, which was supposedly a mandatory outing. The president didn't even know about it. They actually wanted us to avoid contact and let things die down. Fred called me and he said, hey, the club wants to vote me in. You can quit prospecting. I said, why would I want to join the club, they're spineless. I had no interest in being a member anymore. He asked me what it would take to be a member, to get me to join. I told him, I said, if all 13 members of the club that were there that night were voted out, then I'd consider it. They were voted out. I was voted in. I was the last gypsy to be voted into the Dragon Gypsies. Unfortunately, a third of the membership of the Gypsies approximately were voted out. That event kind of sealed the fate of the Dragon Gypsies. The Gypsies were now underground and basically dormant. Fred and I would remain good friends. Fred was always ready to go on a ride somewhere, and he knew everyone in the biker community. He was very well respected. And for the next several years, you could find us hanging out a lot together and riding, going places. By the time my first wedding anniversary was there, the marriage was over. My wife had moved out, and I would file for divorce after 1 year. It just wasn't a Hallmark moment. No card was made that described how I felt. So Wendy and I originally met in December of 74. I was waiting on my divorce to be final. Our first date was actually on that 56 chopper, Panhead. I shared with her my ambition and you know, what I was doing with the roofing business. I showed her my, actually, I took her and showed her my new roofing equipment that I just bought.
That was romantic, showing new roofing equipment. That was,
yeah. So, you know, we dated for, 5 or 6 months or so, but I was just getting out of a bad relationship, and I just wasn't ready for a new lasting relationship. I was 22, she was 20. We ended up breaking up. So the next 3 years, a lot had happened. Business, women, alcohol, motorcycles, drugs, not exactly in that order always, but a lot of partying. Went to funerals for some of my friends, and in spite of all the partying that I was doing, the business actually was doing okay, in spite of my self-inflicted problems. In 76, we roofed the Lancaster train station as one of several other high-profile, profitable jobs. My brother Dell had come to work for me. It was a good year for business. We thought we were on our way to success. However, as fast as we got there in 77, we took a bad job that led us into corporate bankruptcy. After 5 years, I was back to square one. My partying now grew worse.
Sounds like another exit sign, right?
Yeah, exit, sometimes your exits ain't always on the right road. We started the Welsh Mountaineer Motorcycle Club in 78. Since Fred and I were technically still members of in good standing with the Gypsies, we were able to use the old Gypsy land to start the club. Joe Harbold, who was the last president of the club, donated an old house trailer. He was down by Strasbourg, and I used one of my dump trucks, and we towed that sucker the whole way down to the Welsh Mountains with no permits. Just to, you know, we're gone. Hey, yeah, let's do it. So now we had a clubhouse. There were about 18 members, including four of us that were original gypsies. The club, we decided, was not going to be an AMA club, but we also did not want to be an outlaw club because we really didn't want any trouble with the pagans. I was voted in as one of only two officers, as I was voted in as a secretary. However, the club atmosphere just made my partying worse. I was also very frustrated with the roofing business, having just gone through what I did. So I bought a glass tinning business, one of the many businesses that I've did that did not really work too well. But it was tinning auto glass and tinning storefront glass for energy savings, keep things from fading. But it actually made storefront thermopane windows crack. Yeah, not a good thing. But we'll go beyond that. But while being trained for this business out in Santa Monica, I met a girl. And the girl was working in the fashion industry out there. She was originally from New Jersey. We hit it off really good, and we started a long-distance relationship. After meeting that California girl, I started planning a cross-country motorcycle trip with my good friend and club member, Mel Martin, another one of the Mountaineer members. This was a year in the planning, so we were to leave in early August for about a three-week trip. About a week before we were to leave, Mel calls me and says, "Hey, I'm having problems." He was in the trucking business. "I'm having problems with my business." He says, "I can't go." So ironically, God has a sense of humor. My salesman for the glass tinting business that I just purchased, Rick Funk, had received a referral from an old girlfriend of mine, which led me to meet with her to thank her. Had to do that in person, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. That old girlfriend was Wendy. She had a serious boyfriend, and of course, I had a serious girlfriend, so neither of us saw any future in us, but the chemistry was still there. And we went out on a couple of dates. When Mel told me that he couldn't go on the trip, she convinced me to go alone, since I had just bought this brand new 1980 80-inch Harley dresser. And I had the time off, and it's really hard to get time off when you're in business. All of you guys who are in business, you know that. It's when you finally get some time off, it's precious. So I went down to Lancaster Harley, put a brand new AM/FM cassette tape player on the bike.
Cutting edge tech, right?
Cutting edge, you know. The dressers didn't come with a radio back then. They were an option. And so I bought some cassette tapes and left for California. Wendy and I both needed the time to reflect on our relationships and future, if there was one. So here's where some of my exit signs really started to show up as God moments.
God moments. It's fascinating, seriously good, Gordy, and we've, of course, talked about this in advance. You're really not alone in that realization. In fact, when I hear other people's stories about life exits and new roads and all of that, and even when I see people in the Bible, their own life stories, there are frequently God moments.
Yeah, so I'll take you to this first God moment. So I'm on a 5,400-mile round trip motorcycle journey alone. So you have a lot of time to think when you're sitting in a saddle by yourself. I was tiring of life in the fast lane and thought I was ready to settle down, but by now I was really far from God. It had been about 6 years since I've been inside a church or even ever thought about the direction that my life had taken. So here I was, traveling solo on a new Harley. I'm taking amphetamines to stay awake because I wanted to get to Phoenix as fast as I could. I had some good friends in Phoenix, some of which were old gypsies, and I was trying to get there in time to catch. There was always an after-hours party, and you know, we're trying to catch the after-hours party at their house. So I'm coming down the mountain from Flagstaff. There was frost in Flagstaff, so this is early August. There was frost in Flagstaff. I've got all the clothes I had with me on because it was cold. My new Harley vibrated so much that it ate almost all my cassette tapes by then. I only had one or two that still worked. So I could only get one station on the radio. I did have an AM/FM radio. I could get one station, and it was a Christian rock station out of Flagstaff. This brand new song was playing. It was by Bob Dylan. It was called "I Believe in You." Those of you who know me No, I am a huge Bob Dylan fan. When I had heard this song and found out that he accepted Christ, I immediately thought, wow, if Bob Dylan can accept Christ with all that he's been through, then I could certainly get my life turned around, just maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Gabby and the band have worked on that song. Let's take a listen.
Okay, great. So that thought about Dylan accepting Christ hit me on that early morning ride, but it was quickly forgotten as I hooked up with my biker friends in Phoenix. I'd made it to Phoenix in 44 hours. After getting some work done on my bike at the Harley dealer in Phoenix, I proceeded to Santa Monica. I failed to tell my California girlfriend about Wendy, and while I was there, I negotiated a deal with her uncle to do build-up roofing on the 100-plus homes per year that he was building out there. I was now set up to move to California and restart my roofing business and cement that budding relationship that we had. There was really nothing standing in my way of the move, but something just didn't feel quite right.
So I sense another exit sign, another God moment.
Yeah, so God had other plans. When I got back to Lancaster, I still wanted to see Wendy. She was really hot. She had grown up. She was smart. She was fun. She was witty. I was tiring of life in the fast lane. She still wanted to see me. Her boyfriend had gotten transferred, and before this, she was considering moving out of state with him. But the more we saw each other, the more neither of us wanted to quit. Our plans had changed. Eventually, I moved in with Wendy. She says that it really wasn't her idea. I kid her that she loved my dog, Bear, my St. Bernard. I wanted to settle down and slow down. Both of us had abandoned our serious relationship. This time, it would be a love story that would last. A year and a few months after we started our relationship, I gave Wendy a ring. We started wedding plans. Fred and Kathy, who was now my best friend, had just got married in the late summer of 1980. I was Fred's best man. It seemed like Fred and I both were getting out of the fast lane.
What's your next exit sign, God moment? Because as all of this good stuff is rolling on different kinds of roads, it just seems like some exit signs and God moments are starting to fly.
Yeah, so now we're back to New Year's Eve, 1980. Actually, we're back to New Year's Day, 1981. And here I was, after being Fred's best man, now I am really facing the very real probability of losing him, losing my best friend, Fred. After Sandy came in to the men's room and yelled in desperation to come quickly, Fred was shot. I rushed out of the bathroom. Of course, after flushing my drugs and, you know, that I had on me. And I did something else that I don't know why, but I did. I frantically reached out to God to spare my best friend. My prayer was this, Lord, you got my attention. I'll do anything you want me to, but please, don't take my best friend. When I get out into the gym, Fred was white as a ghost. He was laying by the front door, or by the door, the entry door. He was having serious trouble trying to breathe. Grubber, the member who took my place at the door, he had taken a bullet to the chest and had a collapsed lung. He was laying on the sidewalk outside the door. The place, as you can imagine, was in total chaos. I got to Fred, and although Fred was having trouble breathing, he wasn't bleeding. We looked closer, we saw a bullet hole in Fred's shirt pocket. We saw powder burns on his shirt. He had a little Sucrets box that he used to keep his pot in. It had a hole in it, right through it. But there was no blood. We thought maybe that Fred was shot by a rubber bullet, except Grubber, the member who was taking my place at the door, was gasping for air. He definitely took a bullet. He was laying outside the door. There was a huge black and blue mark the size of a big softball that was over Fred's heart when he took his shirt off. After the cops got there and the ambulance came, somebody found Fred's Zippo lighter. It had a 38 caliber bullet lodged in it. Here's Fred's version of what happened. He said, two Hispanic guys came to the door while I was in the bathroom. They wanted admission. Fred asked them if they had tickets. They said no. Fred said this was private, sold out event, and they couldn't be admitted. One of the two men replied to Fred, he says, well, I can go to any white honky party I want to go to. Then Fred replied, as a big trucker he was and biker, he said, as he punched the guy, he said, well, this is one white honky party you're not going to. The guy pulled out a 38 revolver and shot Fred point blank. The two then turned and ran out the door. Grubber chased the shooter, jumped on his back, and while he was still on his back, the shooter then shot Grubber point blank in the chest. They then disappeared in the streets of Southern Lancaster City. That night at the police station, I told Fred about my prayer. He was just really glad to be alive. His wife, Kathy, who's here today, had been attending a church in Millersville called Zion UCC. Wendy and I would visit that church one Sunday, and the pastor somehow, and he doesn't remember this, but somehow he used Bob Dylan somewhere in his service that Sunday. So I told Wendy, anyone that could use Bob Dylan in his sermon must be okay. So Fred, Wendy, and Kathy, we would all, and me, you know, we would all start regularly attending after Wendy and I got married.
That's stunning, stunning God moments, Gordy. He was giving you so many exit signs, so many God moments, powerful to realize that Jesus said this in John 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, which literally in the ancient lingo of the Bible meant the road, literally the road, and the truth and the life. And so Jesus made this very like bold, declarative, straight up, straight on statement to those listening that day. I am the way, the road, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus was saying, I'm really that best road of all. So what's this new road, this Jesus road, look like, and what are some new foundational truths for you? New road signs that have been most shaping for keeping you on the Jesus road?
Well, let me compare it. Compare it, the change in my life, to this old Indian chief. Some of you guys might have noticed Stage is a little decorated this morning. When I bought this Indian, it looked great from a distance. It was setting up on an office roof. When I got it down, it had a lot of battle scars on it, but it was all original. But it didn't run. So Jeff Hilton down at Cycle Den, he cleaned up the inside of the motor, changed the oil, changed all the fluids, cleaned the carburetor, and he got it running. I liked the way it looked on the outside. All original equipment. And I chose not to change any of that. In fact, it ran great for a 48 Indian. The only thing that I changed after I started riding it was the foam in the seat, because every time I kicked it, I would leave a trail of foam underneath the bike. And I didn't like that. So I had the old seat repadded. When I rededicated my life to Christ, he fixed me on the inside. He was fine with what I looked like on the outside. So also, it's really important to note that being a Christian didn't keep me from having a lot of challenges in life or in business, and things just didn't change overnight. Like the old Indian, God fixed me on the inside. He got my heart right, and everything else then just started to work. God became, and he is, my GPS. It's a God positioning system now. I still made, and those of you who know me still make mistakes, and had and have a lot of baggage, but I'm forgiven by his grace now and guided by him, and continue to strive to do his will. My new Jesus road has included exciting things in both family and in business. Wendy and I, we started our family immediately. Our daughter Candace was born that summer, and now she was the newest love of my life. I still stayed in the motorcycle club, thinking that I could be a good positive influence on the club and on the membership and my friends. Fred was still a member, and I still had a lot of friends there. Then Gordon, our second child, was born, and then as a father of two with responsibilities, I realized that the club atmosphere just wasn't the environment that I wanted to have my kids grow up around.
So probably another exit.
Yeah, so I made a decision to leave the club, and not just go to church, but to get involved in church and build new friendships with people that were on the same road that I was on. I would still stay friends with my old biker friends, some of which are here today. I'm thankful for that. But now, since we're traveling on different roads, I didn't see them as much. Business has never been a dull road. I had a good friend of mine tell me once that everything I touched turned to gold. I told him, yeah, a lot of stuff that I touch turns into a four-letter word, but it ain't gold. So the truth is, I've started at least 14 businesses, of which only a few ever made any money.
Yeah. So we all together certainly appreciate your rugged candor, Gordy, about being on the good road in Jesus Christ, but still facing rough roads. And that's reality in life. It really is, and yet it's Jesus who makes all the difference.
Yeah, so one really great new road was back in 99. I started with a couple other friends a motorcycle ministry called Free Spirits Motorcycle. Some of you guys were actually there. Red Carter was one of the Mountaineers. He was one of the founders of that. And Tom Elder, who was a former member of the Pagans, helped me form this group. And we had several outings, and actually Fred came to several of those outings. We had, and I had, the opportunity to pray with him at one of those, at least one of those outings. He told me he was really glad that he was there, and he was happy to be at the outing.
That's tremendous. And I hear you were recently given a gold-filled Zippo lighter that belonged to Fred.
Yes. At Fred's memorial service, Fred's stepdaughter, Diane, riding on the back of Fred's Sportster, ridden by one of the Mountaineer Club members, spread Fred's ashes over the old drag strip up at the club. Red Carter, who now lives in Florida, at Fred's request, performed a pre-recorded service from the old stage up at the club. When the ceremony was over and Kathy, his widow, was leaving, she had the current president, Kevin, call me over to her car, and she presented me with this lighter. So this lighter lost my place here. She also then presented me with the actual lighter with the bullet still in it, which I didn't even know still existed. You see, I thought back when this happened that Zippo gave Fred this gold-filled engraved lighter. They gave him this in a televised event because of what had happened. Of course, word spread of what had happened. And of course, Zippo wanted to take credit for it.
Of course. Yeah.
So I actually thought that in order to get this, Fred gave up the actual lighter for their museum. I didn't know that he still had that ladder.
Wow. And you told me, Gordy, that in a bunch of ways, that actually makes you think about the cross, Christ's cross. What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, so if you look back here, you can just see the top of it, but you see a perfectly hewn wooden cross. It's stained, it's a piece of art. Mm-hmm. It's really not the cross, it's stained the wood with wood stain, not blood stains, and it's clean. It's just a symbol, it's not the real cross. So in ancient times, the real cross was a lot of times just a vertical part of a tree, and it was probably reused sometimes and ugly, blood-stained, nail spikes in it, splits in the wood. Even if Jesus' cross was new, that horrible day that he died, it became stained with his blood and jagged with the nails that pierced his hands and feet.
Yeah.
The gold lighter that Zippo gave Fred was just a symbol of what his everyday lighter was. The Zippo that saved Fred's life was now ugly. It had a .38 caliber bullet lodged in it that cut through the front of the lighter and destroyed the inner workings of the lighter, actually broke through the skin on the back of the lighter, almost went through the lighter.
It's astounding. That's the real thing.
The real thing.
Yeah. So that's a stunning comparison, really. It is. Jesus died on an ugly cross voluntarily so that you and I could be saved just by accepting that free gift of eternal life. That's stunning to think about. God's word tells us what we earn on our own for sinning is death. That's what we earn is death, that destruction road that Jesus spoke of. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, stunning to realize. Believe Christ, Believe Christ. Trust him to forgive us, and he'll set us on that new road. And he does that, again, it's just mind-boggling to think. He does that as a free gift because of his ugly, bloody, loving sacrifice on the cross for us, in our place. It's incredible.
It is. And I believe that Fred's life, and I believe his soul was saved by an ugly lighter that took a bullet that was meant to kill him. Some may say, well, that was just a coincidence that the bullet hit the lighter. But for me, after the prayer that I prayed, I really don't know if God changed the results after the shot was fired, or if he just knew what I was going to pray before I prayed it. But either way, I knew what I prayed. I made a commitment. This lighter changed the direction of my life. It was no coincidence for me. It was an exit sign that I couldn't and I wouldn't ignore. I made a promise to God. My soul was saved that morning.
Amen. Amen. So, Gordy and I would like to know, how about you? As we've talked about his story together over previous weeks, we just kept coming back to this. So what about each of us? We're wondering about each of you. Bikers, friends, family here today, have you missed your own share of exit signs? We all do. I have on this road of life. This today, right here, right now, could be the last exit sign you see or hear. Could be. And if you want to make sure that you are on the right road, Jesus road, that you know that your life now is secure and your life forever is secure, if you want to know that today, if you know you aren't sure of that today and you want to exit right now, you can pray this prayer with me today. It's a simple prayer. Gordy's shared lines of it throughout his story with us. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, I know I need your help. I ask your forgiveness of my sins. And I ask you to come into my life. Guide me down life's road. I want you to be my new GPS. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you pray this prayer today, we want to invite you, urge you, come on up front when we're all done. Come see Gordy and I. We'd love to chat with you more and cheer you on as you travel this new road because of Jesus. We'd love to cheer you on like that.
And I'll show you the lighter that changed the direction of my life, introduce you to the King of the Road to help guide you down this highway of life with the ultimate GPS. If you'd like to someone to pray with you, we're here for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have questions about this prayer, if you have questions about the exit signs today that maybe you're feeling drawn toward today, we would love to talk more and answer questions and help you know that you're on the Jesus road. When we're done in a few minutes, we're going to head out. Everyone's invited to go out and see the bikes. And there's a bunch of them out there. Thanks, everybody, for riding today and getting ready for the ride. We've got the opportunity to enjoy some snacks. They're out there on the patio area. Please stick around. And then before the bikes head out, we're going to have a special prayer of blessing over the bikes and riders as they leave to ride. And at the end of their ride, they're going to enjoy eating lunch together at the tail end of the ride. If you're going along on the ride, you're going to get a couple tickets, ticket for the meal, ticket for a drink, at the bike blessing time out there that you can use those tickets to redeem for your lunch at the destination. Let's stand together. Let's stand. The band's going to come and lead us in hearing and singing along, if you want to, with a closing song. I'm going to invite you to pray with me as they come and get ready to lead us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for Gordy's story. Thank you for your work of grace in his heart and life, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for you being the ultimate road, the new road, our new GPS. Thank you so much for forgiveness of our sins. We all need that. We need you, Jesus. We thank you for your grace. We praise you so much. In your precious name we pray. Amen.